All right, we're back now with Massachusetts Senate Minority Leader Bruce Tarr. Senator Tarr, welcome back. The summer kind of flying by here. It's been a while since we've chatted. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, Rick. Thank you. And how are you today?
Very well, thank you. It's nice to have, one day in a row of good summer weather, so it's pretty good.
Well, I hope this isn't all there is of summer. I think there's the promise of maybe a little bit more to come, but it's given us a chance to dry out our raincoats and in our umbrellas, so we'll be ready for whatever comes next.
There you go. Well, I know you're on the road and you're very busy today, Senator, so let's get right down to what my English teacher used to say, brass tacks. I have no idea what that means. But tell me a little bit about update from the State House in terms of the budget situation.
So it's a busy time at the State House, Rick. We anticipate that at the end of July, the legislature is going to go into an informal session for the month of August. And that means that in August, we'll still meet every 72 hours, but we won't be taking up anything controversial or anything that will be the subject of debate or recorded roll call votes. What that translates into is we're trying to finish the business that has to be finished before we go into that informal session. And, of course, the biggest item on that list is the state budget. As we've talked about in the past, the budget got passed. The governor actually signed the budget. But he also vetoed some spending items and some policy items in the budget. He didn't veto a lot of money. In the end, it winds up being less than $10 million. But he did veto a number of outside sections and or sent them back with amendments. And outside sections are the parts of the budget that affect policy that sometimes touch on spending but don't always touch on spending. Long story short is that we're going to be taking those up most likely next week. The Senate will be in session on Thursday. I expect the House will probably take up the vetoes on Wednesday, so that by Friday we would expect that all of the legislative action on overrides will be done. And, of course, as we know, to override a veto requires a two-thirds vote of the legislature. For the outside sections, the process can be a little bit different, because when the governor sends a section back with an amendment, it essentially becomes a new piece of legislation, and anything can happen to it. So next week is going to be a very busy time trying to close the books to finish the work that we have to do on the state budget, Rick.
Is there a major item in terms of priority in vetoes, or is it you just go item by item and discuss it and vote thumbs up or thumbs down?
Well, that's a great question, because what comes up is a subject of discussion, and the budget overrides that come to the floor are oftentimes the ones that are targeted by the legislative leadership and by the Ways and Means Committees. And there are a number of these items that I think are particularly important, and I'm hoping that we're going to see come to us for our consideration. But that is a significant part of the process, because if something doesn't come up before the legislature, then it stands as the governor has acted on it. So we'll see what's going to happen. One of the most significant things in that category actually involves the charitable tax deduction. And this has been something that's been postponed for a number of years, going back to the early 2000s. And it was postponed again in this budget, and that was done at a time when we thought that we were going to be in financial distress because of COVID-19. What the governor has said to the legislature is that we are not in financial distress. We are looking at fiscal surpluses in 2021, which is the year that just ended, and in fiscal year 2022, which is the year that just began. And in light of all that, and the fact that charities have had a tough time of it during the pandemic, we ought to not postpone the charitable tax deduction and give folks the opportunity to make contributions to these charities and get a tax benefit from it. That's one to watch, Rick, because it is an important moving piece of the whole discussion.
Well, it sounds good to my ears. And finally, Senator, what's the update on sports betting in this state?
So sports betting is something that has been on the table for a while, and I think it's unfortunate that we haven't acted on it, because we are leaving money on the table that could be used for our spending priorities. How much money? Somewhere between $30 and $50 million annually. And what's important, Rick, is that the House yesterday took it up. It was yesterday or Wednesday, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It took up the bill and debated the bill, and they've put a final product together that's now in the Senate. And I have been advocating for the last several years for the Senate to act on this matter and on this issue, I'm hoping now that the House has set the stage for that to happen so that we no longer leave money on the table that is being harvested by other states. So important action by the House. We're still going through their bill to understand all of the details of it. But again, it does represent a significant benchmark in the process of maybe getting to authorize sports betting in Massachusetts.
Massachusetts Senate Minority Leader Bruce Tarr with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.